Okay. Before we have our quiet time, let's all get onto the same page. If you're reading from the Sparkly book, it's page 407, a new section entitled Perception and the Two Worlds. In the second edition, it is page 357, new section entitled The Two Pictures. In the first edition, it's page 333, The Two Pictures. In the JCIM, it's page 171, Perception and the Two Worlds. And if you're reading from the CIMS edition, it's page 343, Perception and the Two Worlds. Okay. Let's take a few moments to be quiet together. Good evening. And welcome to everyone who's joining us on the internet. A new section, Perception and the Two Worlds. Well, there can't really be two worlds, can there? There can't be two of creation. Creation is infinite, singular, indivisible. So, what is called the two worlds must be two different ways of experiencing creation. And indeed, as we've been discussing, one of them is the view or experience of creation that is had in the holy instant. And the other is when you view and experience creation, the kingdom of heaven. From a so-called independent standpoint, which you have created out of your imagination, and which is applied to absolutely every aspect of creation, which is the movement of God. One is utterly harmonious, and the other is utterly chaotic, uncomfortable, unhappy, full of suffering, together with an indomitable will to overcome the suffering. Not by abandoning the viewpoint, the vantage point, but by staying in it and getting control of creation yourself. I'm here again to stand with all of you, with the sole purpose of reinterpreting your perception of the kingdom of heaven, which you are entertaining from the vantage point of being an independent agent. That's my function right now. That is the function of the Holy Spirit right now. That is the function of your guides right now. Everything is geared to or geared toward your waking up, your coming back into your full capacity as that conscious awareness which is inseparable from the mind of God, which holds itself apart no longer, thus allowing you to see creation as the Father is being it and fulfilling your part in the co-creation of it. It's that simple. Now, we've spent a lot of time talking about the special relationship, the unholy relationship, because at the bottom line, it is the most addictive human, I'm going to say non-divine, aspect of your mental makeup. It is the one most significant thing that stands in the way of awakening, of the return of sanity. And so it's very important. And at the same time that you begin to see how not only unproductive the special relationship is, but how destructive it is, you will arrive at a point where, although it still seems like something worth hanging on to, you will be willing to abandon it, because you are beginning through reason to see that everything associated with it is illusory, and that it is keeping you in a state of insanity. At the least, it's keeping you in a state of the inability to see truly. That is the definition of insanity, isn't it? It is absolutely necessary for you to arrive at a point where it is reasonable enough to consider the fact that your independent assessment of everything stands in opposition to your being, stands in denial of what you truly are. That realization, intellectual though it may be, is all it will really take for you to arrive at a point of, let's say, deciding to experiment or test out the possibility that it might truly make a significant difference in your experience of being, to abandon your independent stance and join with the Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind, or join with me, or join with the Father, with the express desire of wanting all of your perceptions to arise out of the inspiration that follows an invitation to the Holy Spirit, me, or the Father, to know what the truth is, and to know it without engaging your capacity to imagine, to invite it without introducing any bias to what follows. Because you want, once and for all, to find out whether everything I'm talking about is true or crap. It's not fun, really, to sit on the fence and indefinitely not make up your mind, but consider all the possibilities, because it's very stimulating and does cause a certain feeling of bliss or inspiration. That's much more interesting than just plain old suffering. Let's go into the book. Perception and the Two Worlds, or the Two Pictures, depending upon which versions of the Course you're reading. God established His relationship with you to make you happy, and nothing you do which does not share His purpose can be real. Now, isn't that amazing? With all of the power, you might say, with the omnipotent presence that God is, it's amazing, isn't it, that a purpose would be established for relationships as simple as to be happy. Not only that, the purpose that each thing that the Father has created and has relationship with is also to make happy in everything that God's creation does. The purpose is to make happy. This is something which is very apparent to you in the holy instant, when you have relinquished your will and yielded to the Father with undefended interest, undefended presence of mind. Everyone loves to be happy. Everyone tolerates not being happy. Everyone puts up with it, because occasionally there are bright spots. But it's important to know that purpose of relationships is to make happy, to be happy, and nothing else. Why? Because it simplifies the correction of all illusions. Absolutely everyone understands what it means to be happy. Not everyone is inclined to devote himself or herself to expressing that which makes happy. Why? Because when one is imagining that he or she is an independent agent, something which arose out of a physical a physical action called fertilization of an egg by a sperm, everything you engage in is at the bottom line for self-protection. Therefore, if at any point you do engage in making happy, it's only because the making happy of someone will protect you. And not out of any actual gift of caring. God established his relationship with you to make you happy, and nothing you do which does not share his purpose can be real. The purpose God ascribed to anything, meaning anything that he created, the purpose God ascribed to anything is its only function. What does that mean? It means that you, as his creation, are already whole. And you need do nothing to embellish it. You need do nothing to improve it. You can dare to peacefully and willingly abide in the wholeness of you, in the wholeness of your being, which is imbued with happiness because of the way in which it was created. I'm sorry, I lost it. Because of his reason for creating his relationship with you, the function of relationships became forever, quote, to make happy, unquote, and nothing else. If you abide in that without trying to add anything to it, without trying to make it different in any way, you will find yourself coming back into the conscious experience of your already created wholeness and your already existing capacity to experience all of creation simultaneously, fully, without conflict, without suffering, without sorrow, but with happiness. To fulfill this function, you relate to your creations as God to His. That's to fulfill this function. Of course, you're not fulfilling it because you're engaged in the practice of special relationships for the purpose of self-protection, self-preservation. Because you don't have available to you at the moment the full conscious experience of your wholeness, in which the universal is all of you. Where the oneness of your being is inseparable from the oneness of all that is, not just as an idea, but as a conscious experience of peace, a conscious experience of perfect safety, a conscious experience of happiness, which flows from you and is received by all, and flows from all and is received by you. Now, let's make this practical. This experience I'm talking about is an experience to be had right here, right now, in what you call the material world and universe. This happiness is to be experienced by all mankind, by all countries. It will find itself expressed uninhibitedly in what you call politics, or what you could call infinite cooperation, not infinite infighting and jealousy and trying to get the better of a situation at someone else's disadvantage for greater self-protection. It's to be experienced here. To fulfill this function, you relate to your creations as God to His. For nothing God created is apart from happiness, and nothing God created but would extend happiness as its Creator did. Whatever fulfills this function not cannot be real. Well, you are all having the experience of what fulfills that function not. The stress, the strain, the tension, the fighting, the arguing, the getting the best of each other that is going on in your world, all demonstrate the fact that extending happiness is not what everyone is engaged in. It's also very clear that the reason it's not being engaged in is because everyone feels threatened. And why does everyone feel threatened? Because everyone knows that everyone else wants to get the best of him or wants to get the best of her. Everyone knows that the motive is not happiness. And so self-protection is in full swing. So what does this mean? You know, we're talking about this wonderful thing called the two-step and the practice of the holy instant. Moving into that place where God's laws prevail. And you do think of it as a mental space, a mental place to move into where God's laws prevail. But here's the thing. God's laws prevailing, will be manifest on your globe. God's laws prevailing will manifest as cancer disappearing, as illness, sin, disease, death disappearing, being replaced by that which obviously makes happy and is happy. Mind you, it's got to happen here and now in your current perception of the kingdom of heaven, in the world you are presently experiencing. Remember, waking up is going to be you experiencing the kingdom of heaven clearly. And experiencing the kingdom of heaven clearly is going to mean your current perception of the world is going to become radically and clearly the evidence of God being right now. In other words, the kingdom of heaven. What does this mean? It means that the practice of the holy instant and the practice of the two-step is something that applies to relationships between you and your fellow man right here on earth, between your country and another country right here on earth, between all of the nations on the globe, where a shift, because effort has been put into it, takes place, and everyone begins to do that which makes happy. And therefore begins to reflect God's purpose and the way God has made it all. In this world, it is impossible to create. What world? In the world of the orphanage, in the world of independent authorship and independent agents and individualities with a will who can, by the exercise of their will, actually make things, create things, and govern and control them well. That's not a real world. That's a misunderstanding of self and the kingdom of heaven. It's a misunderstanding of the Holy Son of God, the Holy Daughter of God that you are, and the kingdom of heaven. In this world, it is impossible to create, yet it is possible to make happy. Why? How could that be? Because no matter how you are interpreting what you are, no matter what kind of a shadow image you are creating for yourself about yourself, you can't stop being the son or daughter of God. You cannot alter what you are divinely in any way. And so, this son or daughter of God that you are acts, and the action is something far beyond the limited perceptions you are applying to it. In other words, the acts of the sons and daughters of God are acts of infinite love. But if you, believing that you are an independent agent who is vulnerable, who needs to protect himself, then that very act, which is a divine act of infinite love, will be interpreted to be an effort to control another independent agent. And there will be no love in it. And it will be usury, and it will be to the disadvantage of both, you and the one this misinterpreted act is being applied to. Now, In this world it is impossible to create, yet it is possible to make happy. We have said repeatedly that the Holy Spirit would not deprive you of your special relationships, but would transform them. Why wouldn't the Holy Spirit deprive you of your special relationships? Because any relationship that you're in, the son or daughter of God that you are, no matter what you believe you are, is a holy relationship, one that you need not be deprived of. You don't need to be deprived of the relationship. You need to be deprived of the misinterpretation of the relationship. And that's why the Holy Spirit would not deprive you of your special relationships, which is a simple misinterpretation of a holy one, but would transform them, uncover to you, reveal to you the holy relationship that it really is, beyond the very specific, finite, mean-spirited definitions you have applied to it because of the mean-spirited purpose you had in mind for engaging in that act, which would be to your benefit and not to the others, you see? And so the more of what God is being there in this act of the Holy Son or Daughter of God will still occur, but you won't be conscious of it. But it will be there for the Holy Spirit to illuminate to you. And when you finally stop attempting to willfully be in charge, you will find yourself fully experiencing the acts of creation that the Holy Son or Daughter of God that you are has been engaged in all the while that you thought you were some pissant little mortal becoming something and protecting himself or herself in the process. You see? I'm going to read it again. We have said repeatedly that the Holy Spirit would not deprive you of your special relationships, but would transform them. And by that, all that is meant is that he will restore to them the function given them by God. The Holy Son or Daughter of God, in a demented sort of way, moves and acts and does things that aren't really being done. He protects himself so that a vulnerability that doesn't exist won't be experienced by him because of how well he's protected himself. You see, the fact is that in that action, nothing is being done because there's no protection that's needed. And it's an act of an insane mind seeing danger where there is none at all. Those who are not caught in the dream, observing the son or daughter of God behaving in this self-protective way, can see that the problem that one is trying to solve by defense doesn't exist, and that the effort that's being put forth by that holy son or daughter of God is meaningless because there's no call for it. And they know that the time will come when that son or daughter of God will abandon his commitment to his independence and will come into the full awareness of what's really been happening, the kingdom of heaven, the son or daughter of God, being uninterruptedly the son or daughter of God, not having lost his or her birthright, It's that simple. The function you have given them is clearly not to make happy. But the holy relationship shares God's purpose rather than aiming to make a substitute for it. Key thing. The holy relationship shares God's purpose rather than aiming to make a substitute for it. The special relationship aims to make a substitute for God's purpose. Because God has been put on the back shelf, out of sight, out of mind. And so, the substitute for God's purpose is a purpose in opposition to God, as well as being one that obscures God and distracts you from remembering that there is another way to look at this with God and in possession of your full birthright. Every special relationship which you have made is a substitute for God's will and glorifies yours instead of His because of the delusion that they are different. You see, you think that God has given you a capacity to be His offspring independent of God. And therefore, that it's your task and your duty and your God-given ability to express your will without ever coordinating or cooperating with the Father, without ever bothering to find out whether there is something beyond your imagination for you to fit in with, something infinitely stable, something infinitely secure, that it's your birthright to function within the structure of truth and love, the structure of divine principle. You see? And so you think that you have a will different from the Father's, and you think that it's supposed to be different from the Father's, and so you plow forward in the attempt to actualize that. And all relationships that arise within that context are special relationships. The thing that we're all learning to let go of, to stop valuing, to stop re-energizing. You have made very real relationships, even in this world, which you do not recognize, simply because you have raised their substitutes to such predominance that, when truth calls to you, as it does constantly, you answer with a substitute. Okay, let's go back. You have made very real relationships. That means divinely actual. As a holy son or daughter of God, you have been relating with other holy sons or daughters of God, no matter what the shadow figures are that have been superimposed upon them by you, and upon you by you, and upon you by them, and upon them by them. You see, you just can't get away from the fact that you are the holy sons or daughters of God right now, and no matter how you obscure that through the use of shadow figures, it doesn't change anything. So you have made very real relationships, even in this world, which you do not recognize. You don't recognize because you are superimposing shadow figures. your own peculiar, unique definitions and the purposes you have assigned to everything, all relative to your need for self-protection. So you have made very real relationships, even in this world, which you do not recognize, simply because you have raised their substitutes, the shadow images, your meanings, your definitions, your concepts, to such predominance that when truth calls to you, in other words, the divine actuality of all of these relationships, as it does constantly, you answer with a substitute. You, who are what I say you are, here is the answer. Here is the appropriate response. My response is to who I say you are. And I will not let you off the hook. You are who I say you are. Until you teach me different. And I will only allow you to teach me something different as long as it still serves me and my safety, my self-protection. You see? Can I make it any clearer than this? Right here in this room are holy sons and daughters of God, nothing more and nothing less. And everyone who is watching at this moment, or everyone who is listening at this moment, are holy sons or daughters of God. All of us holy sons and daughters of God are in relationship with each other right now, right in the middle of the kingdom of heaven, having this insane distraction of peculiar and unique definitions that you have all agreed to apply to everything you're experiencing, which obscures the kingdom of heaven and the holy sons and daughters of God that you are. Why is this important? Because the fact that you are presently the sons and daughters of God means you do not have to work toward becoming them. You do not have to go through a process of self-improvement. You do not have to go through a process of training your mind so that it becomes worthy of discerning the truth. All it requires is a willingness to consider, maybe this is true. Maybe it's worthwhile for me to abandon all of the definitions I've been applying to everything and genuinely expressing curiosity. Father, what is the truth here? Father, what is the more of what you are being right here? Father, help me to see the sons and daughters of God that are all around me, and help me know that I, the one who is seeing them, is also a son or daughter of God. Help me abandon some contentious process of getting from one world to the other. Let me just be curious. Help me. I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired to see what obviously isn't the kingdom of heaven. I'm tired of being confronted with other people's poor estimates of me. And I'm almost tired of impressing others with my poor estimate of them. I'm almost tired of it. It's just that it still seems to have some value. Help me go ahead and let go. Every special relationship which you have ever undertaken has, as its fundamental purpose, the aim of occupying your minds so completely that you will not hear the call of truth. In other words, you will not experience even a glimmer, a hint of the divinity of the one you're in relationship with. Their divinity won't even creep through any weak chinks in the shadow figure you're imposing upon them and holding them to in your mind and absolutely sure of yourself. In a sense, the special relationship was the ego's answer to the creation of the Holy Spirit, who was God's answer to the separation. When you said, "But Father, I'd rather do it myself. But Father, I'd rather see it myself. But Father, I'd rather define what everything is." And you made commitment to it. You joined another son or daughter of God in mutual agreement to abandon your remembrance of your inseparability from God. You caused that which you divinely are to become unavailable to you consciously. And so it was held in trust and called the Holy Spirit. It's that simple. It was there, not allowed to disappear, not allowed to be lost by God, so that you would have the means of experiencing healing. So that you would not be lost forever, but actually forever securely tethered to an inevitable reawakening. It's that simple. That was God's answer to the separation. Now the ego's answer to the creation of the Holy Spirit was to create a special relationship. A relationship in which you could forever spend your time and energy securing yourself as an independent agent and securing it without terminal threat, we'll put it that way. In other words, the ego's answer to the separation, the ego's answer to the creation of the Holy Spirit, which was the Father's answer to the separation, was to cause you to become so preoccupied with self and self-protection and self-development that you couldn't possibly have enough attention left over to hear the Holy Spirit, which is the Father's answer to the separation. So special relationships have as their goal your blindness to your salvation, your blindness to coming back into your right mind. And this is why it's so important to understand the nature of special relationships so that you can see how unattractive they are and how destructive they are, so that you find yourself having justification for practicing the holy instant and reuniting with your source by reaching out to it and abandoning your supposed capacity to function autonomously, successfully. In a sense, the special relationship was the ego's answer to the creation of the Holy Spirit, who was God's answer to the separation. For although the ego did not understand what had been created, meaning the Holy Spirit, it was aware of threat. The whole defense system, which the ego evolved to protect the separation from the Holy Spirit, was in response to the gift with which God blessed it, and by his blessing enabled it to be healed. Again, the whole defense system which the ego evolved to protect the separation from the Holy Spirit was in response to the gift with which God blessed it. God blessed the separation by providing the Holy Spirit as the forever anchor to your sanity, which means that you will inevitably come back into your full right mind. And by his blessing, by God's blessing, enabled it to be healed. Enabled the separation to be healed. You see, no matter how enamored you are with special relationships, no matter how devoted you are to being utterly clear in your mind, as an orphan, and no matter how skilled you become at manipulating people for your safety, all of which blinds you to your healing of the separation, God's gift stands immovable. And this means that you, in your ignorance, stand in the midst of an infinite, eternal intent for you to come back into your right mind. Now that's incredible love. That is an incredible intent to make happy. And what is required of you is to abandon your self-protection and your defense and replace it with the intent to make happy in every relationship you experience every day. And you know what? It's going to take commitment to do it. And it's going to take actually doing it. And that's the task. That's the purpose that stands in front of you to be actualized. This blessing, the gift of the Holy Spirit, which the Father made, this blessing holds within itself the truth about everything. And the truth is that the Holy Spirit is in close relationship with you. After all, it's nothing more than your right mind. Because in him is your relationship with God restored to you. The relationship with him has never been broken, because the Holy Spirit has not been separate from anyone since the separation. And through him have all your holy relationships been carefully preserved to serve God's purpose for you. The Holy Spirit, that which is nothing more than your right mind, has held every act that you as the son or daughter of God have engaged in that is an expression of your divine purpose, has held it inviolably unchanged from its real nature, and all of it awaits your rediscovery as you decide to stop claiming to be tiny. Mortal. On your way to the grave. We are at a threshold here. A threshold which will not necessitate our continuing to study through to the end of the book. I assure you that there's no necessity of delay or process. But you do need to arrive at a point where you're willing to consider that everything you're experiencing at the moment is delusional. Why? Because if you're honest, you will tell me that it is not making you happy. You are not made happy in your relationships, and you are not making happy in your relationships. And you know that isn't your primary goal, except with a few favored few. Otherwise, you're careful, you're on the defense, you're making sure no one gyps you out of anything, and you are sure that if you are not on guard, you will be taken advantage of. That picture you're entertaining says you're not in a world. You do not see yourself in a world that's whose aim it is to make you happy. And you can see that as long as you're entertaining these shadow images about your world, you're not about to become undefendedly willing to make happy your world. So you're in a catch-22, or you're not. Maybe you're not. Maybe all you have to do is practice the two-step. Maybe all you have to do is to shut up the mind that you're using to create shadow images. And in the silence, inquire of your Father, what is the truth? What is the truth here? Help me to learn how to make happy, not as a means of self-protection, but as a sheer expression of love. Help me participate in being the leaven that leavens the whole lump. That transforms the world not by force or control, but by neglecting to hold all of it or any part of it within the confines of a special relationship. I love you all. And this is a wonderful point of growth. It's a wonderful threshold to be at the edge of. I encourage you not to be afraid of it. I encourage you to embrace it. And I encourage you to abandon yourself to it.